Hey, Kareem.
Hi, Tari. How are you?
How was your
Good.
Thanksgiving? How was your Thanksgiving?
Wonderful. It was wonderful. Like I was telling Seth, I assisted myself in the consumption of one entire pie, and that is no joke, Tari. I took home the pumpkin pie because no one ate it at my house, and I finished it in 2 days, which wasn't that
That's a
hard.
great
That's my
that's a great
favorite.
pie. Yeah, there you go. We had a lot of people over here too, and I ate so much. I have not eaten that much in such a long time, but I swear it tasted so good. And then I wanted to sleep, you know. And then you're like, oh, I can't hardly move. But we're still eating leftovers. So it was a good day to be thankful for. We had a lot of friends and family, and so it was good. Hey, we got a great show tonight. And why don't you share with everybody what it's about?
Well, it's about how living your most authentic self will set you free. So the truth will set you free. There are many, many of us who pretend to be happy when we know deep down inside of our soul that we're really not. And, you know, it's either, and there's a variety of different reasons why we may not be living our authentic selves. It could be that we're holding on to deep-rooted secrets. Or we're too afraid to live in our truth because we're afraid of what other people will say. So we pretend to be a different version of ourselves than who we really are. Or we could, there's a lot of us out there that are people pleasers because we're too afraid to say no. There's a lot of women are, we have that problem where we take care of others all the time and we don't say no to anybody. And a lot of times that's because it's coming from a false belief that we feel that we're not good enough or people won't like us if we say no to them. So, but that's also a way that you are living a false version of yourself and thus creating false relationships with people. So today's show is about how to live in your highest truth. And how to recognize when it's time to break free from that fear that's holding you back from living your highest truth, and how to start living your most authentic self.
That is so cool. I know you and I have had a lot of experiences with really, really coming to terms with things and living in our truth and doing what we love and loving what we do and surrounding ourselves with people that really emulate that. We emulate that for them and they emulate that for us. But not but. And one of the questions or one of the statements you made just a few minutes ago was, what was it about saying telling a lie, or you know what you know you've got? Living in truth means like being honest with yourself. Did you say that? Was that what you said? Because it was so cool what you said, how you said it. Being honest who you are.
Right. That, you know, and really coming into that truth. So, and what that is basically not living a lie. For example, if you're so afraid to say no to people, and so you go around, you know, saying yes, you're yes man, because you're afraid that if you say no, you are going, you know, they're not going to like you. You are not living in your highest truth because what you would really like is to not go to dinner because you'd rather you have something else that you need to do, or you'd rather not go shopping with your girlfriend because you know you have to take care of something with your daughter. But you say yes because you're too afraid to say no. That's not being authentic. That's you're in essence living a false version of yourself, an inauthentic version, and in turn is it really is that you are living a lie. I mean that's a very common one, but some of us also. You know, have secrets that we're holding on to, things that we've never expressed to anybody for fear of not being accepted. And I think Oprah had a really great show about this, which was about I think when Ellen DeGeneres came out and confided in the world that she was in fact a lesbian. She felt so free. That's the true essence of how the truth will set you free is because she had been holding that in and not disclosing that to anybody. And in turn, she was living a lie because she had to hide who she was. And when she was able to kind of free herself from that, she became the most authentic version of herself. She allowed herself and opened the door to being who she was supposed to be, who she was always supposed to be. And she in turn then maximized the ability to be to do what she was meant to do in this life.
Oh, that's true too as well. when I was looking at Oprah, watching the webcast, and you and I actually saw that show at the same time, the late, and you said this just a few minutes ago, she goes, one of the biggest things that we deal with is that we lie about being happy.
Mm-hmm.
We lie about being happy. I was like, wow. You know, how are you feeling? I'm feeling fine. Really, you're not. You know what I mean? Maybe your car broke down or the guy didn't call. Whatever, you know, life situations, a girl didn't call. But you lie about being fine because you just don't want to open up and say, hey, I don't really feel fine. I just feel like crap or whatever. I thought that was really, really strong. And they, when she also interviewed someone else. I can't remember the lady's name now. But this, she's a coach, actually, a life coach. But the woman had actually, she went in to have surgery done, and they, you know, put her under, and the anesthesiologist put her under. And then what happened is, she goes, I couldn't figure out how I could see my body with my eyes closed. So just have an outer body experience. And she said, I saw this beautiful light, and it was such a beautiful color, more beautiful than I can we have on this on this planet. And she goes, this light surrounded me, and just I felt such love, such freedom, and such joy. And she goes, I was crying. And the doctors, you know, she could see the surgeons, and you know, because she was having the outer body experience. And the surgeon or the doctor thought that she was in pain, so he asked the anesthesiologist to give her more anesthesia. Well, what happened is when he started to do that, he said, no, she's just happy. And she was crying tears of joy. But the voice that came with that beautiful light said, you think, or we think as spiritual beings having a human experience, that we can only be this happy and free and full of joy when we cross over to the other side. That is not true. We can have it every moment of every day in our life. And the statement that came with this realization for her was, how do you do that? You'd always tell the truth. You know, it's what our folks and our parents said. But it gets a little bit more in-depth about that with the secrets, you know, because we all have these deep, dark secrets that we harbor, you know what I mean? And she said, when she came out of it, she started learning to tell the truth and really got a whole set of new friends, you know, because she was totally honest. And she goes, sometimes it's, you know, you're not honest. It's not about being honest and hurting people's feelings, because truth without compassion is cruelty, right? So you have to watch that. But it's about being honest on who you are, you know what I mean, and those secrets. And she made a statement, which I thought was so beautiful. She said, how did she say it? She said, the thing that you most have a fear of, or your biggest secret, can be your biggest doorway to freedom. I was like, how do you do that? And she went on to explain, is when you're totally honest and open about your secret, okay? Because that secret is just, it's not people judging you on the outside. She said it's what you judge about yourself on the inside. And she interviewed this woman, and the lady said, you know, my personal life is a representation of my body. And she said that and the lady asked, what did you mean by that? And she said, well, she goes, I feel like that my finances are in terrible shape, and that's representation of my body, my physical body. She was overweight, sloppy, and that kind of thing. And the lady said, you know what? She goes, it's representative of my house too. She goes, well, tell me what about you and your house is out of sync. She goes, my underwear drawer, it's messy. It's, what did she say? Three things. She goes, it's messy. It's just messy and full, and there's no room. And she goes, you know what? It's not about your underwear drawer. It's about really that your mind has said about this secret that you're bad. And she goes, that's what all these secrets say, that we're wrong and that we're bad. But that's our own judgment. It's not something that a lot of people put on us. What do you think? Do you agree with that?
Yes. And I'm recalling what she was saying in there. She was saying, she helped the woman kind of discover that it wasn't exactly that, you know, it was her underwear drawer or whatever. It was the lies that she had told about herself, about
right.
being that. And she said, she goes, why is that an issue for you? And she goes, well, because it's so jumbled and I feel like, you know, and I need to be more financial. Her analogy was that, you know, that led to her needing to be more financially stable. And the woman said, that is a lie. She goes, well, why? And even Oprah said, well, why? And she said, because where you are at right now and who you are is perfect in God's eyes. You were not meant to be anybody and anyone else other than who you are right now. And I thought, wow, because we are always like battling with ourselves and telling ourselves, you know, we're bad if we do this, we're bad if we do that, when we should just stay in the present moment and find full acceptance in that. You know, that's the core of the truth within our soul, is that you are perfect just as you are. And that woman got it. She got it that moment. She was like, I have been putting myself down a lot. And I saw that in her eyes. I was like, wow. The key, I think, is what Oprah was asking this woman was, she said, well, how in that experience of going under the anesthesia and experiencing pure joy and love on the other side and coming back and feeling that pure happiness, she said, and her story now is, you know, always tell the truth. And she said, well, how did you know that that's the key to happiness? How do you know that the key to happiness is to always tell the truth? And she said, because of the way your body feels when you're telling the truth. And her process going through that is that after the anesthesia, after her surgery, she's going about with her everyday life, you know, telling herself, okay, my whole goal now in this lifetime is to achieve that kind of happiness in this life, and let me find out the way to do that. So she went about her life and her daily business every day and paying very close attention to the way that she felt at every moment of the day. And she figured out from just, you know, just doing a checks and balances with herself throughout the day is that she always felt bad whenever she was telling a lie. And so she would be working up to like feeling good on the, you know, every day and doing the right thing. And all of a sudden when she would tell a lie, she said it was like a minus one on her happiness scale. Every lie was like a negative one on the docket. So she realized that's the key to happiness then, is to always tell the truth. And it's so poignant because your body will react to the lies that you're keeping. And you know, basically what she said was, what secrets are you sick of keeping? Because keeping secrets make you sick. And it's so true, because even though it's a white lie or whatever, your body reacts to it. That, you know, have you ever told a lie? Your body kind of seizes up. You feel shortness of breath. And then you have a little bit of fear of you're going to be found out that you're telling a lie. There's a lot of anxiety that goes with that. And that's because it's taken away from living in your truth.
You know what I like? What she said about the body part and, you know, how your body responds to a lie. You remember when she was giving the analogy of jumping off of a big diving board into a crystal blue mm-hmm. water, like maybe, you know, the ocean or just in a pool. And she goes, when you look there, you see that blue water and you know that you can jump in there or dive in there. You're going to be safe. There's a logical part of you. She goes, and you know, you might have a deep breath and you might think, oh, can I do this? But you know that you can do it. Versus if you're on that same diving board and you look down and there's black sludge and it's like, you know, the bottom of the, I don't know, the worst swamp lake there is, and you don't know what's below that and it looks disgusting, imagine how your body, reacts with being tight, constricted. I thought, well, I got it. You know what I mean? Because I would jump into a lake, I would be afraid, you know, or in a pool that the water was clear, but, you know, and it was really high. But you could still jump in there, just knowing that you're going to be safe because you look in there and you see the water is safe. Versus your body, and your body reacts to got to jump into that black sludge. I thought that was really, really, really cool how she described that. Do you remember?
Yeah. She was bringing it up because I think a woman in the audience was asking her, "How do you know? You know, how do you know when to push through the fear? How do you know when to push through fear?" And she was saying, "You know, I want you to try this scenario here. Imagine that there's a swimming pool and you're on a high dive and the pool below you is crystal clear and you can feel the fear. You're on the high dive and you feel that fear and you're filled with the fear, but the pool below you is crystal clear." She said, now imagine that pool is filled with toxic sludge, just your body seizes up. You still feel the fear, but it's a different feeling of fear. She goes, that feeling, the difference between these two feelings of fear, because it's still fear, but they're very, very different. One, you're afraid, but you know that you can do it. The other one is fear holding you back because you should not go forward. That's right, what's going to help you to know to go through that fear. That helps you to know when fear means go forward and tell the truth. That feels different from the feel that tells you to stop. So
that's
to pay
true.
Attention, yeah, to pay attention to how your body feels whenever you have a fear of living in your truth. Really kind of be aware of that feeling and use this analogy to kind of feel how that feels within you. Does it feel like the fear of before you jump into a crystal clear swimming pool, or the fear of before you're jumping into a pool of toxic sludge? And then you know when you can move forward, or if you should move forward.
I agree with you on that. It's just, I was like, that blew me away. Now, remember, let me back up a little bit, because you and I do a lot of readings with people that want the man of their dreams, the woman of their dreams, or when is he going to call, when is he coming back. And what I found really, 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 I don't know, it touched me. The girl that was on there that, you know, felt her mom was lying about her dad, and, you know, that her dad wasn't really dead, and there was something, you know, there was something that the mom was hiding. And the mom, you know, said, aren't I enough? And, you know, and the girl says, well, yes, you are enough, but she still wants to know about her father. She's afraid to push forward through that fear, you know, with her mother, because she's afraid her mother will reject her and won't talk to her. And she goes, so therefore, when they're talking on the phone, they talk about the new baby that, you know, that she has, or, you know, the new farm animals that mom has, but they don't really talk about new, you know, about what they, but what she really wants to do is to talk about her dad. And Oprah, and the spiritual coach, as I said, I can't remember what her name is, stated that that's a pretend relationship. How real is that relationship when you can't really be with yourself or talk about what you want to talk about? And I remember a reading that we did a couple days ago. You told someone a couple days ago, actually, you said, you know what? If he does not call you back, and because you want something, you want, you know what you want. You want a steady relationship, one that includes intimacy and being together. How real is that relationship? Do you remember that, Corrine? Because we pretend so much, you know, to be the perfect spouse, mate, or the perfect person in our job. Do you agree? I mean, because I when I heard that, I was like, wow, that's just like what you had said in one of the readings that we did this week together.
I'm remembering that. I remember why I said that, yes, because she was so concerned with, you know, him coming into her life, and it was, you know, I was trying to have her be honest with herself. If you came back now and you are the way you are, it wouldn't be a genuine relationship anyways, because you're not being true to yourself, you know. Absolutely. And I thought it was really poignant between the mother and the daughter too, is because we think that we have these great relationships with these people, or our friendships or whatever. And I think the woman was asking her, do you feel like you have a good relationship with your mother? And she said, yes, I do. We talk all the time. She goes, no, that's not what I meant. She said, you are not having a genuine relationship with your mother. And she's like, well, we talk all the time. We talk every day. And she said, no. You are pretending, your pretend self is pretending that you are okay with not finding out the real truth about your father and what happened to him. And she's and she is pretending that it's okay, that you are okay with her not disclosing what happened to your father. So that your pretend self is interacting with another pretend self. Who are you pretending to be? If you are trying to have a relationship with false self to false self, it cannot nourish the soul. And that is so true. And it reminded me of one of my friendships too, where, I'd been friends with this woman, but every time I was around her, I didn't really feel good, because I didn't trust her, and she was a very negative person. But the whole time, and I remember when I was watching this Oprah show, it reminded me of that, and I said, oh my goodness, I was having a false friendship with this person, because every time that I would see her, I would pretend that the things that she were saying, I was okay with, and the way that she was acting, I was okay with, and, you know, and me even not even, you know, saying, you know, what you just said to that other person was really hurtful. You shouldn't have said that. I totally kept my mouth shut. That was my pretend self pretending that it was okay, that she was, you know, that our friendship was okay. And for years, that was a false relationship. And just like what this woman said, the second that she started living in her truth and not telling lies is when she started to lose a lot of friends, you know. And but you do that for the right reasons, because you know that you're not being honest with yourself, and you got to pay attention to your feelings
and honor them.
And that's the same with our client. Is I think I remember saying to her, "Does it feel good to you to do what you're doing right now?" And she said, "No, it doesn't." And I said, "Then you need to stop." Because it doesn't feel good, right, to carry on in a certain way, being inauthentic to yourself, you know, right. Doing something out of desperation and tricking yourself to thinking that it is okay, making excuses for yourself when it really isn't.
That's true. I want to share this with you. With this, you know, telling the truth, living your truth, you know, being authentic, we both have a client, and she had called me, this mutual client of ours, she had called me, and she goes, "Why don't you want to do a reading with me?" I said, "Well, I'm going to be real honest with you." I said, "First of all, if you don't like what I say or Corrine says, then you just don't want to listen. And then the second thing is that you try to take stuff instead of or take time, and try to justify it that it's okay to take time. And I'm not cool with that anymore. And I know she's not. So I'll tell you who it is after the call, because I just got this email and I was able to share that with her.
I know from the energy. Let's see if I'm right.
I was sitting there going, okay, you know, but it felt really, I didn't do it in a rude way. I did it because she pushed it. And, you know, and I go, you know what, I just need to be straight with her, because I would rather avoid things sometimes like that, because I don't want to hurt people's feelings. But then being truthful, I just don't like to be put on the spot, you know what I mean? And that's a secret that I have, you know. I don't like being pushed, and I don't like being put on the spot. I don't like to face difficult things. So this was a bit of a difficult thing, and you were busy today. I said, I'll tell her about it over the show or after the show. So, anyway.
But that's being true to yourself, though. See, you didn't tell a lie. If you were being inauthentic, you would have said, "Okay, I'll do the reading and I'll keep my mouth shut." But you spoke your truth, and in turn, you also showed her own truth too, as well.
Yeah, I did, and it was good. You know, I feel good. I'm not sure she'll ever call us again. Sorry about that, but you know, hey, you know what? When you tell your truth and make room for others to come that resonate with you, and we've always said that too as well.
So, right.
You know. Anyway, so there's a lot of good stuff coming out of it, and I know that, you know, with our relationship with all that is, or the Creator or the angels, that when you're being authentic. And when you're being truthful and you're living your passion and you're living your dreams and you're doing everything that you want to do, and every day is a new experience, that relationship between all that is, your angels, however you see your Creator, becomes sweeter and becomes more real and more authentic. You know what I mean? So
right.
That's what I feel too as well. I think we got a couple of callers. You want to take them?
We do. Our first caller is Kim.
Hi, Kim.
Hey, girls, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm enjoying the show. Actually, I didn't know I was the first caller. How nice.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, we haven't talked to you in a while. How are things going for you, Kim?
They're going okay, but just, like, super down the last couple of days.
Okay.
Just,
why?
You know? I don't know. Well, probably because of Jeff would be, you know, just not hearing from him that one time and then nothing since.
No, go ahead, please.
I was going to say, why does that make you sad? Because he reached out to you, didn't he?
He reached out to me, and I'm just thinking that he's thinking that he can go back into his own patterns.
No. You're not okay. You're not seeing the situation for what it really is. That sadness only exists inside your head. It's not the reality of the situation. You have to see it for what it truly is. He reached out to you first.
Yep.
After you guys hadn't spoken in a long time, saying a very sweet note to you, and revealing a lot more in that in those couple of texts, more than he's probably ever shared to you in a long time, that he did not deserve the hugs and kisses that you sent him. That in and of itself tells you a lot right there. Okay? There's nothing to be sad about here. Yeah. Your sadness is just based upon the expectations of you want things to happen now. But of course, you know, things always work out in divine timing. So, and you know that he's kind of processing things. There's been a lot of work that he's doing within himself. I mean, it's clearly evident in the fact that he's saying, I don't deserve that. You know that he's been doing some self-reflection and all of that. So just give him a little bit of time. And just honor that part of him that needs to process things in his own way to be the man that you deserve to have in your life. Okay? Just as you have honored that same process within yourself to get you to where you are now, honor that within him too.
Right.
Kim, what I feel with Jeff, and this is really, really strong, you have waited such a long time.
I can't even believe we're talking about him again.
I know.
I know. I'm telling you. But I have...
You do nothing and they run after you.
I've known you for a few years now. But what I feel is that Jeff is putting you, elevated you to a new level. Mm-hmm. And you just, I mean, he has. And you deserve that because you demand more from yourself. And you love yourself more. And therefore, Jeff is like, okay, how do I approach her? You know, because I feel the desire within him to get to know you, to get to know you really. You know, Kim, the amazing woman that, you know, Corrine and I know and a lot of other people, you know, you're friends with. So give him that opportunity to figure it out, okay? She's right about that, what Corrine said. But that's what I see, too, as well.
Mm-hmm. If he wasn't preparing himself to be the man that you, if you haven't done it, let me start with you first. If you haven't hadn't done the work that you've done this far, this entire time to get you to where you were, that man, you would be seeing, you know, him everywhere, and it would be the same old story that you've been telling, right? But because you did this work, there needed to be that kind of space, and you also had space for yourself too, right? Now he's feeling that energy that you've been sending out. You are that independent, strong woman that you know if he's not going to be in your life in the way that you deserve, then you are fine without him. He's felt that energy. And so now what it's caused him to do is now start to do some self-reflection to prepare himself to be the man that you deserve. Okay? Which he didn't do that before, I remember, because did you see how this has kind of progressed? It's like when you were pushing it and you were coming around and you were showing up and you were doing all those things, he kind of just ran the other way. When you said, okay, fine, you're not ready to be in my life in the way that I deserve for you to be, I'm going this way then he was like, hey, wait a second. And that's where he's at right now. And he's kind of doing the self-reflection. It's so evident. I mean, he said, I don't deserve that from you. It's really, that's coming from his heart. Do you feel it? It's coming from his heart. There's this self-reflection. He's thought about, you know, your relationship and how he's treated you in the past. You're at a really good place right now. So just stay with that. Erase the sadness from your mind and take this little token of affection that he's shown you and really hold that within yourself, okay? And add that to your box of faith that everything's going to work out and keep doing what you're doing because you're on the right path.
Kim, if I can share this with you too, you have a lot of angelic help with you. I mean you do.
I know. I talk to you every night.
Yeah, well, they're with you. That's what I see too as well. And Jeff will come around, make him stretch for you like you're doing. I promise you, it's so much better when you do that, okay?
I know that. I just
and it's okay to have down moments.
Right,
it really is. It's okay to have down moments. But the Jeff that I see that's interacting with you now is someone that really, really sees you in such a different light, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're more than just another pretty face. I can tell you that to him. Okay, so anyway, I hope that helps you a little bit.
It does.
And we will. Well, thank you. Anyway, we'll see you on Sunday, okay?
Yep, just let me know what time.
Okay, we'll do. Take care.
Oh, talk to you soon.
Have a good
weekend.
Bye, Kim. You
too.
Bye, guys. Thanks. Bye. Okay.
Now, that is I have to tell you, that is a real Cinderella story right there, you know, because I think the transition, instead of waiting for the handsome prince, you figure out how to get it done inside of yourself, and then you can attract anything you want. She's really figuring that out.
Oh, man, it's amazing. I know. Mm-hmm. She, instead of acting out of desperation, which she's done in the past, and which we've all done in the past, she really stood in her own truth. And she got so much strength from that. She got it. Remember that time that we were talking to her, and she got it. She was like, I know I deserve better. And she chose another man, or she had another man, but she chose not to be with him because she knew she deserved better. She said,
that was great.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many people that we see that act out of desperation because it's driven from fear. And she's been there. We've all been there. But when you get it, when you really get that you stand in your own truth of what you know you deserve and your own love for yourself, you change not only yourself, but the circumstances that surround you and the people that you have in your life. And that's exactly what she's done. It's amazing.
I have a question I want to put out there to you, see what you feel about it, because I have my thoughts about it as well. What do you feel? And we've got another caller. Let's take her, because I know she's been on there for a while, and then I'll ask you this question. I think we got Linda. Do you want to do that? Is that okay?
Sure. We've got Linda from Philly.
There you go.
Hi, ladies.
Hi. Linda.
How are you? I'm doing okay, thanks. Your subject matter resonates with me once again tonight. A subject close to my heart, this whole concept of speaking one's truth. I've been doing a whole lot of that lately, and I do have a question for you, because I mean, what I'm learning about myself is that as a child, there were legitimate reasons why I decided I had to be perfect and couldn't speak my truth. You know, there was dysfunction in the family. You didn't say the truth, you know, and it was very detrimental to me, and I had to be perfect. And as I'm now much older, I'm learning that that is not good for me, and that instead of sacrificing my own needs to make other people happy, I have to think about my needs. And, you know, so in my current relationship, it's been very challenging because I'm speaking my truth, and have been for quite some time, and this relationship is coming to a close, and it's really hard for people to hear about it, and I'm doing it in the kindest way that I can, and my friends, family, everyone is taking a step backwards as I speak my truth and are thinking, well, you know, what about my marriage? What about my relationship? Maybe I should, you know, and people aren't liking this change in me. And so I guess my question is, you know, how do I make it so that I don't have so much pushback, or what do I do, you know, with my current partner, with my children, with my, you know, siblings? It's been very hard. They it makes them very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. Mm-hmm. Is it okay if I've got a want to share with her, Corrine? Linda, what I feel with you right now when you were chatting with me and or Corrine and I, and you were saying your statements, you got to push through the fear now. You can live your truth quietly. You can also have big conversations about it. But right now, what I feel and what I'm being shown is just be real quiet about what you're doing, but be honest and be truthful. One day this marriage is going to come to an end, and it's one day in the future, the near future. And you know what I feel when you were telling me that is that you and your husband are going to be great friends, okay? That's what you are now, I feel.
Yeah.
You know, okay. And your siblings, I'm being asked to share the story with you. Last year, Christmas time, my cousin left her husband, okay, and went back with her high school sweetheart. Well, everybody was up in an uproar about it, and, you know, and it was just chaos. Anyway, this year for Thanksgiving, her boyfriend is a big part of our family now, you know what I mean? And they're going to get married, you know, in the spring, and they love each other. And when I asked her what happened, she goes, you know what, I just said it. I kept saying it, and I kept saying it, and I kept bringing him around. I kept living it, and then finally they just accepted it. Because to accept him, to accept me, to have me in a relationship with them, they had to accept him as well. And so, you know, I think right now you're with your current partner, and I think that there's other things that you're in with another relationship that hasn't happened yet. So just keep living it, keep saying it, and they're going to accept it. But it's almost like you got to spoon feed it to them, but be truthful and don't forget that, okay?
Thank you. And the denial from my husband is so strong. That is very frustrating. I mean, I have said it in 100 different ways, and he is, you know, this is till death do us part. And unfortunately, at one point in the frustration, well, I got the death part down.
I hear you.
but, you know, that's the way it feels. I feel like my soul is dying. And how do you explain that to someone who isn't going through it? At the same time, they're in a different place.
But I'm going to tell you, let me share this with you, and this is really key. You're in one page of the book, okay? The end of the book is that you're divorced, you guys are living happily ever after, and it's almost like walking. When you taught your kids to walk, it took more than one time, it took more than 10 times. You've told your husband a million different ways. Maybe it's going to take 2 million. Just continue walking your walk and talking your talk. But be strong about it and just continue to do it day in and day out, because I'm going to promise you he's going to get it. Your siblings will get it, and they're going to love you, and your husband's going to be a good friend. This is just one moment in time, okay?
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Because, I mean, the terror of growing up in that family and knowing I spoke to you, the terror was that you wouldn't be loved. I mean, that was the bottom line. And on some level, I still fight that. Oh, my gosh, none of these people who loved me are going to love me anymore because I'm speaking my truth. But I know that's not true on an intellectual level. It's just sometimes it feels that way, you know? Uh-huh. So that hearing it from you, that fear is not real, is really helpful.
Well, there you go. You're going to be fine, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Corrine, do you have anything you want to?
No, I think you said it perfectly. I think they're only giving you difficulty with this because it's from their own fear. You're breaking that image of the perfect family and all of that, right? That you guys have held on to for so strongly your entire lives. You've got to project the image of the perfect family and the perfect relationship, the perfect everything. You are breaking that cycle by living your truth, and they love you and they will understand. Because living your truth causes you the purest form of happiness. If you weren't living your truth, if you decided that you were going to close your mouth and not say anything, then you're not honoring yourself, and that would make you feel worse. And that's why you're breaking free from that. They ultimately will understand because they do love you, and they want you to be happy. This discomfort only comes from fear, and that fear is not reality, okay? They will get it, because if they were to pick between, do we want Linda to live a life that is a lie and have her be unhappy for the rest of her life? No, they wouldn't, you know? So this discomfort that you're feeling is just going to be temporary. They'll be okay. Your husband's going to be okay too. I remember when I first spoke to you, like probably over a year ago, I remember you were going through the same thing. And I think your question back then was, will we still be friends? And I remember saying yes to you, and then Tree just told this to you now. So you're going to be okay. I know when I'm tapping into him, it feels like he knows you are speaking your truth. It's his own fear that's blocking him from really accepting it, but he will. Really, because I'm looking at his fear, and it's just on the surface because his heart knows your truth. His heart, when I'm looking at his heart knows your truth.
He knows I love him, right? Because
yes, absolutely.
So yeah. At 15 years old, I've loved this man, you know. Mm-hmm. So that makes it really hard, childhood sweethearts, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, you guys will be really great friends after this, though. His heart knows the truth. And I'm looking at it right now, and he feels your love. He feels your truth. It's just the natural feelings that we feel when obviously the other person doesn't feel the same way for you. You know, he's just going through that. So, and he also is hoping, even though he knows there's no hope. So that's part of the battle that's there. He will understand.
You're going to be fine, Linda. And remember, you've had about a year or two to learn to run with this. Mm-hmm. Your family is just now walking or learning to walk. Give them time. Keep telling them your truth. You'll be fine. They'll be fine too as well. And trust me, they'll accept everything. Okay, just going to take them a little bit of time. All right, my dear.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Love you guys.
Okay. Bye, Linda. Bye-bye. Bye. I know. I know she's been through such transformation and growth. So it's nice to see that with people, with her especially. I have a question for you, and I want to see what you think.
Sure.
And if any callers want to call in and share what they think, we'll be glad to listen to your opinions or your questions, right? I think we should say that. When you're dating, because you and I deal a lot of people that are dating or in relationships, okay? When you're dating or when you have the man that you want and you need to be truthful with him. Let me go back. I'm going to back it up a little bit. Okay. When you're dating someone and they go and it's your first or second date and they go, well, I'm not ready to get serious or I'm not sure I'm ready to get serious. And you're looking at them and you're going, where'd this come from? How do you handle that? How do you walk in your truth? Because that is a very real question and it happens a lot with first and second dates or third dates or sometime, you know, because we talk to those folks, a lot of us do. And I know a lot of spiritual workers that do shows on BBS and other places do the same thing. So how do you answer that with someone walking in their truth, being in their truth? What is it that they, do you feel that they have to have inside of them besides being truthful? How do they, what would they?
So your question is, how do you handle it on the other end of it, on the receiving end, or how?
How does a woman or a man handle that on the receiving end?
Okay. Well, you ask yourself, what is your truth? Is your truth that you yourself are not ready? Or if your truth is that you are ready for a relationship, but this other person is now telling you that they are not ready for a relationship, then you, just as you are honoring your own truth within yourself, you honor the other person's and you say to them, that's fine, but that's not my truth. And we can just be friends then. And that's the only way to handle it. What else can you do? Because you first have to identify and do not try to trick yourself. I know a lot of people out there go, well, you know, I'm afraid to be alone. So I'll just tell this person, you know what? It's fine. I'm not looking for anything serious too. We can just hang out, you know, right? And then your feelings get involved and then you get hurt, right? How many times does that happen to people?
Oh, right.
Happens all the time, right?
Yeah, we talk to people
all the time. So when someone tells you they are not ready for a relationship, but they're okay with hanging out with you, ask yourself, what do you want? Be honest. What are you looking for? And are you okay with that? Because if you really do want a significant long-term relationship, then you have to let this person go. Because this person will continue to see you if you make yourself available to them. But the fact of the matter is, you will just get hurt. Because that person has spoken their truth to you.
I agree with you on that 100% because that was something that came across to me pretty recently, and I felt the same way. Okay, good. Let me ask you another question. And there's also, you can always ask your angels to help you say your truth. And if you can't say it, certainly don't lie about it and say, oh, that's fine, because it's not fine, and you know, and you're not being authentic. What about pretty recently, a friend of mine from college, she broke up with her husband, or he broke up with her and left her. And she is just sitting there holding the bag, and she goes, I didn't even fight for him. I go, did you want to? And she goes, yes. And she was running to, and she goes, he wanted to leave, so I let him leave. So that being the question, do you say to someone, is there any way, do we work it out, or do you just let them leave? You know what I mean? And then manipulate a situation where you can be together with them. What do you feel?
No. If you realize that your truth was that you did not want to let them go,
right?
Then you need to do whatever it takes to start living in your truth, and you need to pick up that phone, and you need to call that person and tell them, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have let you go. I still love you. I want to try to work this out with you if you feel the same way. But I could not let you go without saying this, because it would not be how I truthfully feel within my heart.
I agree with you on that.
If you just accept it and you let that person walk out of that door because you don't want to stop them, then you are not being authentic to yourself. You're going to live the rest of your life thinking, I let that person go and I didn't do anything about it. And that's what happens when, you know, they always say, oh, that one person that I let them get away. You know, that quote that, you know, of relationships.
Yeah.
the one person that got away. Well, why didn't you do anything about it then? Why didn't you? You weren't being truthful with yourself. And it takes a lot of courage to do that, because there's a lot of pride that's involved in a situation like this, where one person is telling you they want to go, and then the other person doesn't stop them because of their pride, right? Well, I'm going to look like a weak person if I tell this person, no, don't go. But really, the true strength is in conquering that small amount of fear, because that love is worth it to you. That is your real truth, to be with this person, to not let them go, to work it out. That is true strength. That is true courage, to find the ability to live in that truth, despite the fact that your pride might get hurt, or you might seem however you think you seem.
And that yes, person, I agree with you.
Yeah, and if that person is living in their truth too, they will recognize that part of you, you know, and be like, wow, you know, this person really took a lot of courage to come and speak to me in this way, and even though they're afraid, and I've got to really look at this.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that I realized, and I told her basically the same thing too as well, we get so caught up that when we say something that there needs to be a response right away. And one of the biggest lessons that I got pretty recently is from someone, she said, Therese, we planted all these seeds, did all this work, and I'm seeing it now with my boyfriend, who's now my fiance, living with him. And I wanted it to happen back then when I told him that he was going to lose me, and if he didn't do certain things, or I needed to leave him because I was looking for something different. And she goes, you know what? We came back together, and now we're living together, and we have a life together, and we have ups and downs. And she goes, but the things that I told him, she goes, I didn't see right then. She goes, but I'm seeing now. And I think sometimes, you know, when we share our truth and it doesn't happen the way we want it to happen with the other person or the other situation, because it doesn't have to be love. It can be career, you know, or life choices. Then we get really, you know, we think, okay, did we do the right thing? But I feel, and this is something I know because of my journey, and I know you're going through some of this similar stuff as well, is that always tell your truth. And you might not see it now, but I promise you, you're going to see it later because you plant the seeds, right? And if that person, you agree with me on that too as well, right?
I think. Oh, absolutely, because if for nothing else, at least you know you spoke your truth. Even though it was a scary thing to do, because you feel that the other person doesn't, you know, just like with your cousin, her husband leaving, you know, if she picks up that phone and is able to speak her truth and say how she really feels inside of her heart, and if he doesn't reciprocate that, at least she knows she spoke her truth, and it felt good at least to do that, okay? Because it would feel worse to live the rest of her life without ever having that opportunity to speak what was really in her heart.
I agree. Yeah. Well, that's what she did, and she now has her boyfriend that she had when she was in high school. She's happy. Little side note to her, what really made a difference is she's been battling breast cancer this past year. So she goes, "What are people going to do? Not like me? I don't care." She goes, "I face a lot of stuff," and she says, "And I want to be with this man." And she goes, "And he still wants to be with me, and it's true love because I'm bald and I don't have any hair." And she goes, "I have to wear a wig, but he gets to go out with a blonde and a brunette anytime."
Long hair, short hair, every day, different woman.
Yeah, there you go. You know, so how cool is that? She's a sweetheart though. But I learned a lot from her too. Okay. Do you? I think that we have another caller. I think
we do. We've got a couple minutes though before we've got to close the show. So we'll take Amy real quick from Pennsylvania.
Okay. Hello.
Amy, how are you?
Hi, how are you guys?
Good.
We got just a couple minutes. So, what's your question?
My cousin, he's about 67 years old, but his mom and dad are, of course, passed on. But he always wanted to know. His mom and dad gave him away when he was a young baby. They didn't want him. They gave him away. And out of four children, he was the one they didn't want. He was named after his dad. His dad's name is Joseph, and his mom's name was Leanna. And they gave him away, and he doesn't understand why his parents gave him away. His name is Joseph, Joey also. We call him Joey.
This is your cousin?
Yes, he's, yeah.
And your question is he wants to know why his parents gave him away?
Yeah, and when they died, they didn't leave anything to him in their will or anything. It was like he didn't exist in their family.
Mm-hmm.
He had another brother and two sisters, and my grandma fought real hard to get him back to his family because he wanted to be with his family, but his parents did not want him.
Okay, was he the youngest, the oldest, the middle child?
He was in the middle,
okay.
I think. He's not the oldest, and I don't believe he's the youngest, so I think he's in the middle.
Okay. Corinne, you want to go first, or do you want me to?
I'm getting money around this, something with money.
I'm getting heritage. Mm-hmm. See, I got heritage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. Okay, mm-hmm. Heritage, there's something with the heritage. There's something with the birthright. There's just a lot of questions. He grew up where he grew up, or the folks that he grew up with, it feels like he was safe and taken care of.
He did end up back with his mom and dad, but they just never, they gave him away, and then my grandma fought to get him back, and he ended up going back to his mom and dad, but, they didn't want him, they gave him away.
Well, there's things with it, but it looks like it's heritage, as Corinne was saying, money, birthright. There's a couple different things going on in this situation. And I know that we always say speak your truth. His parents loved him. They've always loved him. That's what I'm feeling now. But the word heritage keeps popping up when I'm tapping into the folks on the other side. Ask your cousin to give us a call on Tuesday night, because you know what? We're going to run out of time here, and there's a lot more to this. But we take questions on Tuesday night on the conference call too, Amy, okay? So ask him to call in, and then we can chat with him there and give him a little bit more in-depth answer, okay?
Okay.
But
okay.
It would be better. It would be better if he called, okay?
Okay.
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 Anyway.
Thank you.
Thanks, Amy.
All right. Thanks, Amy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. I probably should say you call, too. Did that sound abrupt? I mean for it, too. Amy, if you're still listening, we want you to call as well on Tuesday night. So
We met the both of you.
Yeah, exactly. Therese, sometimes I say these things. It's like, I need to soften it up. All right, well, you know what? We've got a couple of more minutes, and before we close out, we've got some wonderful things going on at angelcoaches.com. Creed and I are doing yearly readings, so we take it month by month, and they're very strong, they're very powerful, and we let you know what's going on in every aspect of your life. So if you want to make an appointment for that with us, then go to angelcoaches.com and send us an email, and we'll give you a call and see what we can set up for you. But you get two psychics, and I don't think that's being done yet, and you and I are kind of we got a neat deal there. And we got a lot of classes going on, too, as well. We've got a How to Build Your Spiritual Business class getting ready to take off in January. So if any of you guys are out there listening and want to know how to build your spiritual business, and more than make money, have passion and enjoy doing it, and make a living and make lots of money, make whatever you want, we're going to show you how to do it. And Corinne, we also have our Tuesday night call too as well, so you can find all this information at angelcoaches.com. Do you have anything else you want to share?
No. Do we want to share that quote by Audre Lorde?
Oh, yeah. Did you have?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it was so beautiful. Thought for the day, because we were just talking about living your truth. And do you want to share it, or do you want me to?
Sure. There's a wonderful quote by Audre Lorde, and it kind of sums up the topic for today that we were talking about in today's show. And it is, she says, "The more I use my strength in the service of my vision, the less it matters whether I am afraid." The more I use my strength in the vision of my, in the service of my vision, the less it matters whether I am afraid. I think it's wonderful. It just, it totally resonates with me.
Well, I was taking notes on that one too. I wrote that down. So anyway, take care, everybody, and we'll see you next Friday night.
Good night.